This meeting to order. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the proposed 2016 budget. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, stating their name and address, and provide their comments. We ask that members of the public clearly state their name and address for the public record. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following the public's comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or to debate the matter. I will now ask Peggy Tollett, treasurer for the town of Caledon, to begin her presentation.
Good evening. Okay, so this is a similar presentation that we did a couple weeks ago, but the 2016 budget this year was a collaborative effort between all the departments. I think in this budget, we tried to address all the major priorities in each department, and while proposed budget also includes a variety of requests, it also ties into the council work plan. So we started at December 17th with our initial budget meeting. This presentation mimics that same presentation that we did. At that day, we also did a user fee presentation, a stormwater management presentation, and a council work plan update. Today is December 1st, which was our first public open house. So we started out in the atrium and into the cafeteria with the various, I call them science fair projects. And then we come in here for this condensed presentation. It's kind of science fair. The next presentation will be December 15th. This will be directors' opportunity to actually explain their requests for capital and unmet needs for the budget and give it a more detailed explanation. That will be an all day, and all the departments will be presenting that day. They will present their budget pressures, what they heard from tonight from residents and from councillors, the questions and responses. So as you saw at each of those tables, there was somebody there to take notes. And then there will also to discuss capital and operating requests. Then in 2016, we'll start the actual deliberations of the budget at our committee structure for January 12th. And then on the 19th, we hopefully will finalize the budget and ratify it on that night. So today's agenda will be done with myself, Mr. Wong, and Ms. Hare. We'll be going through these different items. This first one just gives you some ideas of how our dollar is split between each of the departments. So if you took $1, this is how it's attributed. So 42 cents going to Public Works, 7 cents to Library, and therefore. It's important to note that when we look at taxes, we can't just look at town. It's divided into three ways. So when we look at the tax rate, we levy on three different bases. We have the town's rate, which we talk about tonight. The region will set their budget, and that takes up 32% of our overall number. And then the school board sets their budget, which we won't hear back until April. One of the important things we have to focus on in our budget is what our assets are. So we have over $540 million worth of assets. Now, that is historical cost. That's not replacement cost. So when we look at roads, the value is $286. It probably costs more than that to replace them, but that is our historical value. Building and building improvements at $116. Our land and land improvements at $59 million, sorry. And bridges and culverts and storm ponds at $21 million. For vehicles, we have $20 million. Machinery and equipment at $9.6 million. Furniture at $9 million. And we have several projects that are in progress. That's roughly $17.9 million. I'll now turn it over to Mr. Wong to talk about budget pressures.
Thank you, and welcome everybody to the budget meeting. Before I get into the details of the proposed 2016 budget, I would like to go over a few high-level budget pressure items that the town faces in the 2016 budget. One of the first ones is inflation. So like most residents and businesses, the town is also a consumer of goods and is impacted by inflation. Inflation is measured by the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, which is a rolling 12-month comparison of costs for a standard basket of goods, including food and clothing. So CPI for Canada ranged between 1% and 1.3% from June to September of this year. For the same period, CPI Toronto ranged from 1.1% to 1.8% with recent months, August and September, at 1.4%. So in the past, we have heard that the town should peg its tax increase to CPI. As shown in the slide, CPI changes monthly, so it's difficult. It's a moving target. Another reason why it's difficult is the town also faces budget pressures beyond CPI or inflation. And I'll go over the other budget pressures on this slide and the next slide. So one of the other budget pressures is salaries and staffing. 2015 is a contract renewal year for both fire union and our QP union. So provisions have been made in the 2016 budget for union and non-union increases. Council also requested that staff investigate and implement a retention strategy. The proposed budget includes moving the town's compensation from the 50th percentile to the 60th percentile within our comparator group, with the hopes of retaining some of our best staff and, when required, help to attract good and qualified people to fill vacancies. Also under staffing is annualizing the approved 2015 staffing. So what happened in the 2015 budget was staffing was put in the budget for half a year. So we need to put in the other half of year for the 2015 staffing in the 2016 budget. This accounts for about $300,000 of the increase, and each $520,000 increase equates to about a 1% tax increase. In regards to 2016 staffing, the senior management team is proposing additional staffing in 2016 related to growth, initiatives to implement the council work plan, and the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. Another pressure for the town is actually growth. So as the town grows, we need more equipment to service the growth, such as snow clearing equipment and parks equipment. So without additional people and equipment, service levels may decrease. So as you add more roads and parks to maintain, we need more people and equipment to maintain them. In the 10-year forecast section of the proposed budget, you will see additional facilities. As each facility opens, the town will face additional budget pressures in the future for staffing, utilities, insurance, and so on for the new facility. Also within growth is planning for future growth. The proposed budget includes planning studies like the official plan review that is important to properly plan for residential and employment growth within the town. So other pressures the town faces is capital infrastructure investments. So as Ms. Tollett showed in the previous section, the town has about $500 million worth of capital infrastructure valued at historical cost. Tax-funded dollars are required to repair, maintain, and replace this infrastructure. So this is for the existing infrastructure we own. We are also required to pay for part of the new infrastructure that we need. So new infrastructure such as new parks, rec centers, libraries, and so on, that are required to support growth. Many of the growth-related or development charge projects are not fully funded from development charges. The town's 2014 development charge study identified $523 million of capital infrastructure required to support growth over the next 10 years. So again, this is growth that we're projecting to come in, and the infrastructure such as new parks, rec centers, and so on, fire stations, to support that growth. Out of the $523 million, 63% or $331 million is to be funded from developers. So we collect development charges and we use $331 out of the $523 to fund the new infrastructure. The remainder, which is about $192 million over the next 10 years, or close to $20 million a year, is funded from tax dollars. So not only do we have to take those tax dollars to fund our existing infrastructure, we need roughly $20 million a year alone to fund growth-related capital. So we actually have a tax-funded capital target of $20 million, but that is a starting point. With the approval of the 2015 budget, the tax-funded capital right now is at about $13 million. So we have about a $7 million gap towards our target. So staying on capital infrastructure, the proposed budget also includes new initiatives such as townwide high-speed internet service. Through council and media reports, this is an important issue for town businesses and residents in Caledon. This has been the subject of a couple of reports to council this year, and the town has joined the Southwestern Integrated Fiber Technology Initiative, or SWIFT. The goal of SWIFT is to partner with other levels of government and the private sector to build out fiber and provide high-speed internet services, especially in rural areas. Each partner would contribute towards the capital buildouts, and I believe one of the goals of SWIFT is to provide high-speed fiber internet to residents for less than $100 a month. So staying with capital infrastructure, other pressures related to this is this town's proposed stormwater management program. The Public Works Department completed a stormwater management study where it took inventory and looked at the condition of all stormwater assets in the town. So this includes stormwater management ponds, the pipes, and culverts. And based on the study, the town needs to spend about $2 million a year to maintain, rehabilitate, and manage the stormwater infrastructure. Since an immediate $2 million addition to the town's budget would itself equate to about a 4% increase, town staff are recommending to phase in the $2 million over 4 years, so $500,000 a year, through a special levy for stormwater. This will ensure that the funds collected are fully accounted for and used for this purpose. Also, the levy will be listed separately on the tax bill for full transparency. A special levy is also being recommended for the high-speed internet project for the same reasons. So I have a lot to say for capital infrastructure. Still within capital infrastructure is the town's continuance of the Enhanced Roads Program, where the town spends or intends to spend roughly $4.1 million a year on what we call a shave and pave program to enhance or extend the life of roads so that we can delay the costly project of total reconstruction for those roads. The $4.1 million program started in 2014 and will be funded through the issuance of debt to about 2018. Next item there is debt. So as I alluded to earlier, the Enhanced Roads Program will be funded from debt. In 2016, we're proposing that the town issue debt for two projects that are completed. The town's practice is we issue debt following the completion of a project. And what we have in 2016 is we have the completion of the Enhanced Roads Program related to the 2014 year. So we spent about $4 million, and we have the completion of the Caledon Equestrian Park. So this is $11.4 million facility. The town's contribution towards that is $1.7 million, and it was always intended that we issue debt following the completion. Given that the amount is only $1.7 million, this amount will likely be issued through internal debt. So the impact of the debt is a 2016 budget pressure, the annual principal and interest debt payments related to these two items is about $600,000. The last item I have to talk about is assessment growth. Assessment growth is additional tax revenues from new homes and businesses across the town, and it actually helps offset some of the pressures that I identified earlier. However, with the proposed East-West Highway the MTO is planning, called the GTA East-West Corridor, non-residential assessment growth is on hold at the moment, and that's been included in our forecasts. Also, the 2016 budget includes a trend in recent years on declining planning and engineering revenues. So this summarizes some of the budget pressures that the town has considered in developing the proposed 2016 budget that maintains service levels, improves service levels and customer service in some areas, and continues down the path of investing in the town's aging infrastructure. I'll now turn the presentation back to Ms. Tollett.
Just to follow up on assessment growth. So assessment growth, the way that works is currently when a house or subdivision is set up, we have the subdivision there. The town collects tax revenue based on that property at that point, just the land. Once the house is built, It could take actually after 3 years from the town when the house is being built by the time we see that revenue. So as the town grows, the assessment base grows, but it could take time for that assessment to be built into our budget. So this year, we're projecting about $1 million in assessment growth. So you'll see that $1 million in this slide here. So for 2016, we split that $1 million to help fund. Half of it is in to fund operating needs. The other half is to increase our tax-funded capital base for $500,000 and fund capital initiatives. The balance of this graph is showing our projections from now on until 2016. So finance staff actually sit down with the building department. We look and see what's in the pipe now, what are the building permits we're expecting in a couple years, what are the subdivisions coming in, and then we project out 3 years from the time the building permits come in to see when that revenue comes in. And then as those subdivisions come in, that revenue comes in, we put it into this chart. We use this chart to help do our 10-year capital budget and to see what we can fund and not fund, and then it helps us along as we go through the budget process. Each year, we look at these numbers every year to make sure we're still on target. So for the 2015 budget, we always start off with our 2016 budget, we start off with the 2015 budget. So last year, the final budget was approved at $75.5 million for revenues, and that's the combination of the revenues. Majority of it goes to tax revenue at 52.5%. However, there's $12 million from just user fees, and that's people using the rec facilities, the parks, or the building fees. Those are all in there. Then we have to have a balanced budget. So there's the $74.7 million in expenses, and I've broken this out by departments. And you can see how much is related to each department. So public works being $18.4 million and all the way down to a building department at $4 million. The start of our 2016 budget, we started off with unavoidable budget changes. So these are things that were approved in 2015 that either add to the 2016 budget, and we have to include them at the beginning. So some of these were one-time costs that were in the 2015 budget that get removed, and some of these are increases that we had in 2015. So on the top part, you see there's the increases, which was the phasing in of the debt payments. Those debt payments are for the 2014 Enhanced Road Program and for the Equestrian Park. This does not include the 2015 Enhanced Program. We'll have to start budgeting for those in 2017. This also includes the annualization of the 6 months for the positions in 2015. So in 2015 budget, we actually said $300,000 more to capital, and we reduced those positions to half. That's the impact of that. And then this year, we also approved a position in 2015 for a specialized corporate partnership position, which was approved this year. So the impact of next year is included in the budget. So the total increases is $754,000. We did have quite a few decreases, so we have some one-time costs from previous years that get removed, plus the introduction of the LED project also came with some savings for maintenance and electricity. The total decreases is $369,000, so the net result of that is $385,000 being added to the 2016 budget base. So we start with our operating budget, and then we have some mandatory expenses that have to be added. We had some legislative requirements for parks for $20,000. We have employee compensation of $1.2 million, which includes union settlements, COLA, Gwidden roofs, and a retention strategy. Inflationary costs of $675,000. This includes insurance. 2015, we had another year with a lot of high insurance, and we actually didn't have enough money into the 2015 budget, so we're showing an impact for 2015, so we're already trying to proactively add that in for 2016. The other costs in there include professional dues for staff, operating costs, some contracted services, postage, and maintenance for vehicles. Utilities, we have $169,000 increase. Some counts decreased, some increased, but overall there was the $169,000. That's made up of some projections for natural gas at 70%. Electricity at 6% and water at 7%. And then, of course, we always look for service delivery efficiencies in each department. And this year we found $408,000 in efficiencies. Some are reductions in contracted services, printing. We also changed our plan with our cell phones, so we saved quite a bit of money with our cell phones and then office supplies. However, this net increase of expenses is $1.6 million overall. However, with increases, we also have some decreases to offset that expense with some increases to revenue. So in revenue, we have $259,000 increase just from usage of the rec facilities, rentals, and concessions. This also contributes to some additional interest income from our investments. The town's been very proactive with investing into various investments on a regular basis. Anytime we get some extra money from the region, we make sure we invest it before we give it to them, so we get some revenue there. The new revenue and fees there is $46,000. A full list is available on our website, but it's included some new fees in various departments, some within general governance and some within corporate services. That was presented to the public or to the council on November 17th. 2015, finance did a full fees review. That fees review consisted of another $395,000 that was added to the budget. Again, a full list is available on our website. The total increase to revenue is $701,000. So what this does to our budget, we start off with our base budget of $75 million. Then we add $385,000 from previously approved. We add 1.6 for our base increases. And then we add the $701,000 for revenue. The overall budget shortfall at this point is 2.54% town only, and that equates to $1.3 million overall. This year we have several new proposals for unmet needs. We have four categories for unmet needs this year. One is for council work priorities, keeping technology current, growth related, and organizational excellence. So today in the atrium and cafeteria, you would have saw all the department's requests for unmet needs in the various areas. There are details in each of the binders and also on our town's website that speaks to the various positions. I won't go through them in complete detail. However, if you refer to the binders or in the next presentation on December 15th, departments will go through them more in detail. So in this category, we have only one position that's being recommended here for conversion. The balance are just increases for various activities from marketing to community engagement and increased grants for grant assistance for low-income seniors and low-income persons with disabilities. The next category is keeping technology current. We're recommending two new FTEs there, so one in corporate services and one under the development approval and planning policy department. The next category is growth. As this town is actually growing so fast, we actually have to keep up with our demands. So we have several positions being recommended there to address growth. There are seven new ones in the various departments, from emergency services to parks and rec, fire, and general governance and public works. Again, more detail will be on the December 15th presentation. Another category we have is organizational excellence. We have six conversion positions here. These are people who are either almost full-time but not have full-time benefits. So it's just to convert them to a full-time position with benefits. And then we have two positions there that's recommended with HR at no cost, simply because these are only required when somebody's retiring. We would actually use that as a filler for to hire the person in advance of the person retiring. So with the 18 positions, 11 new and 7 conversions, that's $1.1 million in unfunded unmet needs. However, we do have $1.4 million in unfunded. Again, when council goes through the budget, they can certainly move one from the unfunded list. However, it would be recommended to take one out of the funded list. If you want to move one from the unfunded up, then that will be an increase to the budget. So it would be nice to take one from the other if we have to. So where does that do to us now? So we start again with the $75.7 million on both sides and expenses and revenue. We add the $385 from previously approved, the increase to the base at 1.6, and the unmet needs that adds up to 1.1. The revenue increases for $701, and the assessment growth that we allocated to operating for $500. Budget shortfall at this point is $1.9 million, or 3.74% town only at this point. I'll now turn it over to Heather Hare to go through capital.
Thank you. So let's look at the 2016 capital budget that's being proposed. This chart shows what our actual tax levy funded capital has been since 2008 to what is being proposed for the 2016 budget. The green line shows the town's target of $20 million, which is based on historical annual amortization amounts. The historical amortization amounts includes historical costs of assets, not the replacement costs, so in creating this target, we have taken that into consideration. Currently, there is still a $5.5 million gap between our target and the proposed tax-funded capital of $14.5 million. We hope to eliminate this gap in the coming years to ensure we are prepared to replace and support the aging infrastructure and prepare for the anticipated growth in the future. This chart shows the sources of the capital budget funding for the proposed 2016 budget. 41% is coming from development charges to assist with the funding part of the growth projects, such as roads, libraries, and fire stations. 31% comes from property taxes. The majority of the remaining funding comes from gas tax and recoveries from other municipalities, such as the Region of Peel. Debt consists of 9% of the funding, which is $4.1 million for the Enhanced Road Program. Ms. Tollett and Mr. Wong have already mentioned some of that debt for those programs. The way it works, though, is if the capital project is finished in 1 year, the debt would be issued in the following year. The current budget does not take into account the future debt payments for future debt that may be issued. This would have to be added once the debt is issued in future years. The $4.1 million of debt can be funded either internally or externally through the region. This slide shows a summary of some of the main capital projects each department is proposing to undertake and fund in 2016. In your green capital binders, you will find a complete detailed listing of each project and the related funding, as well as a comprehensive summary listing of all proposed capital projects in the front of the capital binders. We have also provided the public copies of the budget binders on the website. I will highlight the main projects proposed to be funded in 2016 for each department. Corporate services capital projects consist of mainly IT-related projects and an insurance policy review. Development approval and planning consists of studies such as the official plan review. Fire is asking for additional funding to complete the Bolton Fire Station. If these additional funds are not required, they are put back to the original source of funding. They are also proposing a fire training facility, and they have a business plan in the capital binders if you would like more information about this. General Governance has a customer service project and are proposing to make some website upgrades. The library is funding the Mayfield West Library, which is a term of council project, and they have their standard allocation of budget towards books and materials. Parks and Recreation has a term of council project for the Mayfield West Rec Center and are also performing renovations and replacements on many of their facilities. Public Works has many bridge and road projects, as well as a fleet replacement and an LED project. A list of the roads to be completed in 2016 are included in your budget binders. The total of proposed unfunded tax-levied capital projects was just under $6 million. You can find the details on the pink sheets in the capital budgets of these unfunded projects. These were considered of a less urgent nature than the other capital projects that town staff are proposing to fund. What council can do if they choose to is take any of the projects that are unfunded and choose to fund them, and they can also take any proposed funded projects and make them unfunded if they wish to. So to recap on what Peggy had showed previously, we have $385,000 of previously approved unavoidable budget increases. Increases in expenses for 2016 of $1.6 million. Recommended unmet needs of $1.1 million. And the $1.5 million that is added to the base capital budget that will help us reach the $20 million goal in the next coming years. On the revenue side, we have the revenue increases of $700,000, the $500,000 of assessment growth allocated to the operating budget, and the $500,000 of assessment growth allocated to the capital budget. In total, there is a shortfall of $3 million, which equates to a 5.79% tax increase for the town's portion of property taxes only. So next, we're going to look at the 10-year capital projections. Every year, the town looks at the 10-year capital projections to determine the timing and costs of the different capital projects that will need to be completed. This slide shows the main major projects that staff are recommending we undertake in the next 10 years. In 2016, the major long-term projects are the Mayfield West Library and the Mayfield West Community Center, which equates to almost $33 million. A large portion of the funding for these projects will come from development charges, since these projects relate to growth. The next major wave of capital projects are in 2019, and they also are related to growth projects, which are the new fire station, an addition to the Caledon East Complex, and a new Public Works Operations Center, which in total add up to about $32 million. This chart shows what we are projecting as capital expenditures that will be occurring in the next 10 years, and the related capital funding projections from tax to pay for these projects. The red line shows the capital expenditure projections, and the green bars show the capital funding from tax projected in the next 10 years based on assessment growth. As you can see, they are in line with each other until the latter years. At this point, there are many assumptions that are coming into play, so it is difficult to estimate accurately since the information such as the DC background study and other master plan data for growth doesn't currently extend that far out. This concludes the long-term capital section of the budget. I will now hand the presentation back over to Ms. Tollett.
Okay, we're almost there. All right, so this is just a recap of everything you've heard tonight. So the 2016 proposed budget, the increase to the base budget is $1.3 million. So that's expenses minus the revenues. The proposed unmet needs, the total amount there is $1.1 million. The increase to the base for capital is $1.5 or $1.6 million. And the reduction for assessment growth is $1 million, which we attributed half to operating, half to capital, but $1 million in total. So our budget is at just over $3 million, which town portion only is roughly 5.8%. I'll explain this slide a little bit more in detail to make sure we're clear. So on the town's rate, you'll see it says 5.8. Then we also introduced a new levy for stormwater. We're recommending a stormwater levy of 1%. And then the broadband levy of 0.6. Together, those add up to 7.4. Now, how does that equate to the overall rate? So when you equate to the overall rate, the 5.8 actually represents 2.5. The 1%, 0.4. And the 0.6 is 0.2. The region right now is estimating at 2%, but it could be less, and they're doing their budget in the next couple weeks. We will have their finalized rate when we come back to you in January. However, at this point, our share is looking at 0.7. We're assuming school boards at zero, but again, that could change, but at this point, we're assuming zero. So the overall rate is 3.8. The impact at 519 is 136 town only. The overall would be 176. For every 100,000, the overall would be $34 for every 100,000. And this is, again, estimated because the Region Appeals budget for 2016 is not approved yet, and education rates are not approved. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Tollett, Mr. Wong, and Ms. Hare for your presentation. Are there any comments from the public, members of public that are here tonight? If so, please step up to the podium, clearly state your name and your address.
Good evening, Council and staff. My name is Sherry Baroshi, and I am a resident of Caledon.
Can you state your address, please, Ms. Baroshi?
I have to say my address? I've never had to say my address in the 20 years that I've been here.
Okay.
Thank you. So going through the budget, I have a couple of questions. And I thank Peggy. You're amazing. I email you, I ask you questions, and you help me understand it even better. And I would just want to say thank you. So the Caledon Equestrian Park debt is $1.7 million. I think I've brought this up over the years, and I still haven't seen the plan, so I'm going to ask it again. It's there. It's built. It's ours. But what is the current revenue being generated out of this facility for the park? And what is the projected revenue to help pay for the investment to take the burden off the taxpayer? So in other words, what is the business plan? Can I get an answer, or do I have to wait? Okay.
So I think before I get to the answer, I really appreciate these budget meetings, because we actually hear from the public in terms of what they think about the budget. Had a really interesting conversation earlier on at the sessions outside, where a resident said that he came into and spoke at one of these budget meetings, and the project that he spoke of was actually unfunded, and after he spoke, council decided to move it to the funded side. So I really appreciate feedback from the public. Now, with respect to the Caledon Equestrian Park, I believe in the report that was written 2010 timeframe, it did lay out some cash flows for the Caledon Equestrian Park. The facility is currently just completed this year, so we don't have a full year of operations. So we have all I can rely on is what we projected back in 2010. My recollection from that report is basically we are anticipating to earn about $100,000 per year on revenues from events outside of the regular events that are booked there, and I don't recall the details as to what that net is.
Thank you, Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Fu Wing. Can we possibly look into that? And then you can, if you choose to email me that information, that's fine too.
And through the chair, I can certainly circulate that to all of council and Ms. Brioche.
Appreciate that very much. So turning to page slide 13, through you, Madam Chair, to Peggy. As the town grows in regards to collecting tax revenues, just out of curiosity, why does it take 3 years to collect the assessment?
Through the chair, so the MPAC could take up to 3 years to assess the property. So you have when the building permit gets started to when the building permit gets closed to when the house is built and the house is completed, fully completed. That process, by the time MPAC gets that all that information, it could take up to 3 years. So, but we go retroactively back and bill for assessments, a supplementary assessment, to when the house was completed.
Okay, thank you. Slide 16, through you, Madam Chair, to, I don't know, maybe Peggy or Fu Wing, I'm not really sure. So our revenue is $75.7 million, and our expenses are $75.7 million. So it's a wash, but I don't see how we're putting money away to fund our unmet needs. How do we, without the burden of always going back to the taxpayer, how do we do that? I know you're trying to do that, but your land use budget right now, from what I remember, and I could be wrong, is in a bit of a shortfall compared to what we're doing. So is it possibly that we can relook at the land use budget in order to start putting money away to bring on our unmet needs faster, so everybody's kind of more happy and there's not a burden on the taxpayer all the time.
So through you, the chair, so one of the things we did for 2015 was did a full fees review. And what that full fees review was did was added $395,000 into the budget. It was looking at how much we're charging for fees and where the fees are not covering their direct and indirect costs. And that was help assist the operating budget extremely. So that was $395,000 that was added.
But when you look at the $395,000 versus the unmet needs, especially in public works and fire, we're going to need more money than really going after our fees, like our user fees. So how do we propose to generate revenue in the town of Caledon without burdening the taxpayer? Am I making any sense?
Well, first of all, unmet needs are supposed to be new service requests. So we don't normally put money aside for unmet needs. We do put money aside for capital. And say we have a new facility for Mayfield coming on board, so we'll have to plan for that facility opening. However, for unmet needs, you got to remember it's some are related to growth and some are just new initiatives as the departments come forward. It's council has to decide whether they want to add those new requests or not. Assessment growth sometimes pays for part of that. So we take assessment growth and we allocate so much to operating and so much to capital as well. So that sort of offsets some of those growth initiatives and unmet needs.
Mr. Wong would like to add something, please.
Thank you. Through the chair. Ms. Tollett has walked through on slide 18 that talks about some of the things that we did on the operating side and on the expense side where we came up with budget cuts, service delivery efficiencies of $408,000 so that we can mitigate the impact to the taxpayer. And then on the following slide, slide 19, she also talked about some of the revenue increases that we looked at. And yes, that did look at new fees, increasing fees, and the fee review that they conducted. And in total, that added about $701,000. So that reduced that $701,000 is over a 1% reduction in terms of a tax increase. So we did go through a process outlining what the pressures are and how we actually reduced some of those budget pressures. And what's being brought before you today is the town recommended budget. As I sort of spoke earlier today, the purpose of these meetings is to hear from the public so that council can make an informed decision later on in the budget process.
So unfortunately, I haven't had time to go through the 600-page document. So, I mean, I'll try, but, I mean, to give my input. Just a question. On slide 25, at the bottom, Development Approval Planning Policy Department, conversion of a law clerk from part-time to full-time, it's $0. How do we if we're going paying somebody part-time and we want to put them full-time, isn't that going to be, or is that paid through another avenue?
Through you, the chair. So that one is at $0 because they're reducing on their casual wages. They're offsetting all their casual wages from not only planning but also in DAP. And they're also reducing some contracted services overall to bring that position to
okay.
Zero. There's a detailed sheet in the blue binder.
Okay. I kind of thought that. I just wanted to get clarity on that. Thank you. Fire and emergency. I know Daryl and the guys have been looking for this training facility for a major long time, and I'm happy to see that it's possibly see the light, and that's a good thing. The 5.79% townwide, and then the overall 3.8, and I know that's going to change. I understand that, but as it stands right now, on a $500,000 assessment house, we're actually looking at about $160 to $170 increase in our taxes. I just want to put this out there that there's a lot of seniors in our community that don't get this. It just keeps going up and up and up, and I would ask council to be very cognizant to that, and I will try to, maybe through my counselors that I know have budget books, maybe try to sit down with them and go through the binders, because I don't really feel like printing off 1,000 pages. But thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, staff.
Thank you, Ms. Brochet. Is there anyone else? Hi. Please clearly state your name and address.
It's Teresa Nato at 2146 Old Baseline Road in Englewood. Thank you, Mayor, Acting Mayor, and through you to Peggy Jollett. My quick question is basically, is there any thought of looking at making a proposal for no increase and showing where the town might be able to cut to meet that need? I know that in the past when there's been real pressures and where we've been directed or the municipality's been directed that there's going to be no increase, they identified where some of those dollars might come, and the town would have to look for, let's say, a decrease in service or a decrease in certain things. So it's always, I find it very always nice to see, first of all, as I mentioned, what was spent last year, so you have some, you know, that we can compare to, but also if you're showing a 5.8% increase, where do you suggest dollars come from the in order to have a 0% increase or a 1% increase. And I know that you don't have a magic ball, but it's just that it gives us some idea where we might be able to see how we may be affected if we actually look for no increase or a much lower increase.
Sala, did you want to comment?
Through the chair, so I believe I spoke with you earlier. So one of the questions was if we can see the historical tax increase, which I sent that to all councillors just recently. I can certainly post it on our website. In order to bring the budget down, that's council's choice how they want to bring it down, but there is a lot included in this budget to address not only growth, but also service delivery in the town, because we're getting to the point where we're growing and we have to start addressing that growth. So it doesn't pay for itself, as we know. So in order to bring the budget down, it would mean looking at services to remove, really. And it would mean none of those unmet needs. It would mean no increases to capital. It would mean nothing in this budget, really, because there is a lot to even maintain our service at this point.
Mr. So Wong?
I believe, even into our base budget, our increase there is $1.3 million, which is $2.4 million, just town only, which to get that, you would have to cut service delivery at that point.
In rebuttal, I understand that, but would there be, do you have any idea where you might want to cut, like if there are projects that are less important or kind of prioritize where they'd be so that if we do say, you know, we can't go above 2.2, then where do you suggest that there might be some holding back? Again, it's just a request.
No, I understand. So through you, the chair, so this is staff's recommendation. We've already done that review with each of the departments.
Okay.
So we sit down with each department, look for service delivery efficiencies. We look at, see where we can reduce the budget and operating. When we look at unmet needs, we look at everything everybody's requesting and figure out how much can we afford, how much we can't. So that's why there's a proposed funded and unfunded for unmet needs and capital. At this point, this is staff's recommendation because this is what we think we need in order to move forward, but council can choose their direction from there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further comments from the members of the public?
Good evening. My name is Henry Tanzos. I live in Black Horse Village. Just a couple of things. First, in my opinion, anything above a 2% increase is definitely not a good idea. The people are already stressed to their max of what they can afford, and the cost of living in Caledon is now far exceeding the average annual increases of the people that live here. So the average annual increase of people living here is usually around 1.5 to 2%, and you guys are asking for 5.5 plus extras. We shouldn't add any extra new expenses until the bare minimum, we meet a 2%. And if you can fit them in there, excellent. The broadband initiative, I believe, adds a significant amount to your tax base. I would say 99% of the residents of Caledon have access to broadband. The town should not get involved in anything to do with broadband. It's an expensive adventure. From my understanding from the SWIFT initiative, the town would be on the hook for 7% of the investment. And I can tell you, it's going to cost hundreds of millions, if not $1 billion, to overlay Caledon with fiber. So for that being on the shoulders of the taxpayer, when we have free enterprise that looks after it, and it is available to everyone now, I think we're confusing a lot of whether or not it's available to everybody in the town or the cost of it to the individuals of the town. If you're paying for your own, it's more than accessible. I live in one of those areas that's far too far out in the boonies to get high-speed internet from the conventional methods. We have people like ExploreNet, Bell Mobility, Rogers. They all provide high-speed internet on cellular services or antennas. So for the town to get involved in that and have that kind of money involved is really not a good idea, because it will get into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's all I've got to say today.
Mr. Wong, did you want to make any comments with regards to the SWIFT initiative?
Not really a comment, Madam Chair. Basically, I'm happy Mr. Tazos came up to speak. We actually had a very interesting conversation outside council chambers, and I encouraged him to basically provide his comments here at council, because we have heard, as staff and councillors, we have heard that high-speed internet is important to the rural community and a lot of businesses here in town. And it's interesting to hear another side of it. And as I mentioned earlier, this is the purpose of these public meetings, so that we can hear all sides of it before council makes their decision. So thank you, Mr. Tessa.
Thank you, Mr. Tessa.
Just wanted to add one more thing. You've got to consider the tax increases on people like myself that are also being taxed by other municipalities on my tax bills. So that's a bigger problem, because you may have 7%, but I'm still paying other municipalities' taxes as well in my home in Caledon for the storm management and the canal for East Willenbury and whatnot. I believe you're aware of it, Nick. That was supposed to be just a small $20 charge on my taxes, et cetera. Well, that's exploded. And for some reason, in my neighborhood, I am the only person that drains over the hill and into the marsh. So rather than complain over the $20, which I didn't do at the time, they've gone ahead now and increased it, and everybody around me does not pay that same tax, although we all drain into the center of the subdivision. So my water somehow goes over Mount Washington and down into the valley. Okay, so you've got to consider tax increases when other municipalities are also putting tax increases on the residents of Caledon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments from members of the public? Seeing none, I will move to comments from members of council, starting with Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to Mr. Wong. Looking at the long-term forecast for the ratio residential versus industrial, we're still looking at an 80-20 split, which is really not a financially sustainable. Do you have any thoughts on how we can move that 80-20 to maybe a 70-30 moving forward? 60-40 would be ideal, but I'm going to settle for 70-30 right now, which is probably achievable.
Through the chair, in terms of thoughts, I would say that this is, we should wait until after the OP review. That we're starting this year. What I also mentioned is the town, the GTA West Corridor project is actually hampering our ability to improve that ratio. So I think after the GTA West Corridor, the actual lands that are approved for non-residential, they can move on and start developing, and that should improve our ratio.
Okay, so my understanding is that the province is looking in December this month to determine the route. Does that, once they've determined that route, does that free up those lands, or is it going to take some more time for those lands to be freed up?
Does Mrs. Hall want to answer this?
Through Acting Mayor Innes to Councillor Groves. It depends on where the corridor goes in regards to those lands, and in particular the lands in Mayfield West Phase 1. If the corridor is one of the corridors that go right through the lands, there would be certain lands that would be frozen still as a result of that, but some lands should be able to be freed up. And of course, we won't know that until we get that information from the province.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Beffer.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the amount of work that goes into what's done. I know by the weight of the binders that it was a lot. First of all, it is a procedural question. I don't know who's best to answer it. Ms. Tollett mentioned it. We have a new method after Christmas of dealing with budget, and that's the general committee. And then we come back to the council budget meeting. I just want to clarify, at the, first of all, general committee meeting, will there be motions entertained from the council, and will there be public input? And then secondly, the same two questions for the council budget meeting, the final meeting.
You can answer. So I'll ask our acting clerk, Ms. Hall. Or not Ms. Hall, sorry.
So the committee of the whole meeting for the first one in January, on January 12th, will be committee of the whole general, where the proposed budget will come forward for discussion and debate. At that point, those recommendations from council will move to the actual town council meeting, where the budget will be approved or is expected to be approved. So there can be debate, discussion on the recommendations put forward in the budget for final approval at the following council meeting.
So can there be motions at that meeting, general
yeah.
committee?
Yep.
And will the public have input at the general committee?
They will.
Okay. Thank you. Going to Fuing, if you would, please. You talked about the debt for the Caledon Equestrian Park, and you said that because of the amount of the debt, we may not go to the region to borrow that much money. Your words were that it would be issued to internal debt. So I wonder, number one, if you could tell me what exactly that means. And number two, how does it relate to the phasing in of debt payments that was mentioned by Ms. Tollett?
So basically the $1.7 million is a relatively small amount. The town, being a lower tier municipality, we have to issue debt through the upper tier, the Region Appeal. And the Region Appeal goes out once a year to issue debt, and we're talking about millions and millions of dollars of debt. 1.7 would be sort of a one of, because all debt must be issued for no longer than the life of the asset. So in this particular case, the Caledon Equestrian Park, I believe council stated that they did not want the debt to go beyond 20 years. So this would be sort of a one of, whereas some of our other debt goes up maybe for 30 years or so. And some of the region's debt may be beyond 30 years. So a $1.7 million small loan may not attract the type of lenders that some of the bigger ones go for. So what we are proposing to do is to sort of borrow internally. What that means is that we would still put in the debt repayments as if it was an external debt repayment, but we would pay ourselves into our reserves versus paying an external lender. And how this ties into the $600,000 that Ms. Tollett mentioned earlier, it's part of that payment. So that the debt related to the Caledon Equestrian Park is included in that $600,000 that we're projecting for 2016. So again, instead of paying an external lender for that through the region appeal, we would pay ourselves.
I appreciate that. I guess the mechanics of it, I understand. It's my remembrance, if you will, recognition that the general public believed that we were going to borrow that $1.7 million and that part of it would be paid back by the profits, if you will, that would come out of what we were doing at that facility. Is what you're suggesting consistent with that thinking?
And through the chair, basically, I believe I'll review the report, but I'm pretty sure that the report identified that for the first 20 years, we would not have the funds through the rental of the facility to repay the debt, and it would be years 21 to 40 where we would have that.
Okay, thank you. My last question relates to an amount that's in the budget for an additional cost for the fire hall in Bolton. And I believe it's $1.7 million. And I understand the need for it to be in the budget, but I guess my question is, notwithstanding what it would do to our credit amount that we borrow, could we borrow that money to build that building? Because my understanding is that the quotes that were put out were back in about 2011, 2012, and now they're higher. And so it's going to cost us more to build the building. But can we borrow that particular phase of this budget, which would free up money for other things, perhaps? Just a thought.
That is an interesting thought. We can look further into it, but I believe part of that is development charges, so we would have to see. Yeah, if it does get freed up, it wouldn't be freed up for just anything. It would have to be freed up for something that's fire if it is development charges, because we collect development charges for specific buckets. Fire would be one of them. The other thing I would say is that even though it's one of the slides that we actually took out of this package, we had a slide that talked about our debt, our annual repayment limit, which is the amount of our revenues that we use to pay debt. And the province says that we cannot use more than 25% of our revenues to pay debt without actually asking for permission. We're currently at around, I believe off memory, about 6% mark. And with the projected $4.1 million of enhanced roads projects, we would be very close to reaching 10%, which is what council has set as the town's limit. So the provincial limit is 25% of revenues to pay debt, so principal and interest payments. Council has set the bar, the threshold, a lot lower, saying that we should not go over 10% of our revenues to pay principal and interest payments. So with our proposed debt for roads, we would be getting very close to our internal limit of 10. My recommendation is probably not to issue debt for that 1.7. Number one is it's very similar to Callan Question Park. It's a relatively small amount. We probably wouldn't get a lot of interested lenders for that. And number two is the other rationale is that, and the other thing is that we would be getting close to our annual repayment internal limit. The third thing is that I think we should leave some debt room for in case we actually have an emergency where we do not have the funds internally to pay for the emergency repairs, and then we leave some debt room for that. So what we have planned and what's proposed in the longer term plan is debt, only debt related to the Enhanced Roads Program going out to 2018.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments from council. Oh, Councillor Groves, you good? Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Tollett, Mr. Wong, and Ms. Hare for your presentation. And a special thank you to the residents who took time out of their schedules to come here this evening and share your thoughts and concerns. I know as members of council, we do appreciate you taking that time. As there are no further comments, I will declare this public meeting to be concluded. Thank you.